Hey everyone, welcome to Bitchin' Bout Broadway. I'm your bitchin' host, Elijah Zurich, and today is our first episode, so there's no telling what kind of mishaps will ensue. I'd like to introduce my bitchin' co-host, Sam Talk. How are you, girl?
I am fabulous. How about you?
Ugh, better now that you're here. I've missed you.
I missed you too.
And Sam is calling all the way from?
Lewiston, New York, Niagara Falls area.
Oh, period. And today, we will be talking about, we're going to edit this out, okay? We're going to edit that part out. Okay. Thanks for joining us today. Sam and I will share a path. Okay, just kidding. We're going to cut that part out. Yeah, I can edit that. Okay. Thanks for joining us today. Sam and I share a passion for all things Broadway, and we like to discuss Broadway shows, performers, songs, and Broadway history, and sometimes the Broadway tea. Our discussion today will most likely sound like a conversation we would have on any given day, perhaps minus explicit language, but you know how it is. Today, we will share our valuable and undisputable opinions regarding Beetlejuice, the musical, and Sam, and I have lots of opinions because you've seen the show how many times?
I've seen it 4 times, once in the front row. That was exciting. Okay. I'm a geek.
Ah! And also, like, low-key got Sam, was it a birthday or a Christmas present, your jacket?
Oh, it was a Christmas present, and it's the most beautiful jacket I've ever seen. It's, like, hand-painted, mm-hmm. Black denim crop jacket with, like, a sandworm on it with daisies and stripes and beetles. It's gorgeous. I love it so much.
It's your whole aesthetic, the beetles and the worms.
It is, the beetles and the worms, all the bugs.
That's going to be my new thing for you. I'm just going to be like, Sam, what's your aesthetic? You just make beetles and worms. And I'm just going to be like, cottagecore. Yep. You know? We're so cute. I just love us. So today we're going to go into some history. And first, we're going to kick this episode off with the opening number from Beetlejuice, the musical, The Whole Being Dead Thing.
Yay!
Which is so great, and I'm so excited about it. So thank you so much. Enjoy the song.
Hey folks, begging your pardon, excuse me, sorry to barge in, now let's skip the tears and start on the whole, you know, being dead thing, you're doomed, enjoy the singing, the sword of Damocles is swinging, and if I hear your cell phone ringing, I'll kill you myself, the whole being dead thing, death can get a person stressed, we should have carpaid way more deals, now we're never gonna I can show you what comes next, so don't be freaked. Stay in your seats. I do this bullshit like 8 times a week. So just relax, you'll be fine. Drink your $50 wine and take a breath.
Welcome to a show about death.
You're gonna be fine on the other side. Die, you're all gonna die. You're all gonna die. On fine here, like Rogers, Hart, and Hammerstein here. The women's bathroom has no line here. Just pee where you want. The whole being dead thing, you're just gonna love the folks here. Yeah, I know you're woke, but you can take a joke here. And every show I do like a ton of coke here. The whole being dead thing, nobody is bulletproof. I work out, I eat clean, Jesus, pass the Dramamine. Time to face the brutal truth, cause we're all on a hit list. Might not live till Christmas, choked to death on Triscuits. Hey, that's just statistics. So take a little break here, kinda like a wake here. The scenery is fake here, but there's a giant stake here.
Welcome to a show about death.
You're gonna be fine. This is a show about death.
Death is taboo, but it's hardly something new. There's nothing medical professionals can do. So maybe just feel you.
If you die while with life, no one makes it out alive. Toss that body in the pit. Gosh, it's awful, ain't it tragic? Blah, blah, Bible, Jesus, magic. When you're dead, who gives a shit? No Pilates, no more yoga, namaste, you freaking posers. From the cradle to cremation, death just needs a little conversation. I have mastered the art of tearing convention apart.
Welcome back. If you are just now tuning in, this is Bitchin' About Broadway on Hot Radio on Anchor FM, and I'm your host, Elijah Zurich, and this is my co-host, Sam Top.
Hello, everyone. Happy to be here.
The song we just heard was The Whole Being Dead Thing, sung by Alex Brightman and the cast of Beetlejuice, the Broadway musical. So let's dive into a little bit of history about Beetlejuice. Sam, do you want to talk about this, or should I?
I think we can do like a duo thing and just like comment on each other. Something like that. Okay.
Cool. Do you want to start us off? Because you are the priest of Beetlejuice.
Of course. It'd be my honor. Okay. So cool. Beetlejuice the musical opened at the Winter Garden Theater on April 25th, 2019, and it closed on March 13th of 2020. Now, Beetlejuice the musical is based off the movie from 1990. Let me look that up really quickly.
It's 1988. I have it written down, low-key, just a little bit.
Thank you. Okay. From 1988, the Tim Burton classic cult film.
Started many.
Many, many, many cults.
Period. So, Sam, is this the one that you watch every day, or should I not expose you?
No, why? Expose me. I do watch this movie pretty frequently. I wouldn't say every day, but maybe a couple times a month. I mean, it's one of those movies I can just go to when I'm like feeling out and down. So I just really love it.
That's just so funny to me. Like, this is such an odd choice. Like, you're just like, oh, I don't feel great, I'm gonna watch Beetlejuice. Like, it's just such a... I know, right? Like, to me, I would be like, girl, I need to watch some Disney after this. Like, I don't know. It just, I mean, Tim Burton's a genius, but let's be real. It sent me. That movie, I was like, what even is going on? Like, I was so scared.
No, it's really whack. And it's only like 90 minutes long, which is kind of why I like it. I like short things. But the movie, in my opinion, has a lot of like unresolved plot lines. Like, who is Beetlejuice?
Oh, yeah.
Where does he come from? Where's Lydia's actual mother? And I feel like the musical really explores and dives into those two characters specifically, like their storyline.
Yeah, like I remember when I watched the movie before I saw the Broadway show. Like, I knew I was definitely 100% gonna see that show on Broadway, so I watched the movie because I had never seen it before in my life, which I'm so sorry, Sam, but this isn't something I grew up with. Like, the Tim Burton movies that I grew up with specifically were Nightmare Before Christmas and Sweeney
Todd.
Which is so weird. Like, I was 9 years old, just like, girl, I'm gonna watch Sweeney Todd. I know, right? So, I watched this and I was really confused. Like, it had, like, I knew, like, everyone in it because, you know, they're all famous because of the movie. But I was watching it and I was just like, how is this gonna be like a Broadway show? And then I like already kind of knew things about the Broadway show, like the song, like Dead Mom and Home, and I that whole plot point wasn't even in the movie. She only said like one sentence about her mom throughout like the whole
thing,
I think. Yeah. And I was like, oh wow, so they just invented like this whole thing. So when I saw the Broadway show, it was like so much different. And I mean, obviously it was longer because the Broadway show is like 2.5 hours, 2 hours? What do you, how long is it? You sat there than me.
Yep. It's like 2.5 hours, I think. Yeah. With
them. Okay. I mean, like, I never got bored watching the Broadway show. Like, It was not a boring show. It was just long.
Mm-hmm. Imagine if it was boring and I'm like, I saw it 4 times and it was the most boring thing I've ever seen.
I know, girl. Don't even get me started on Broadway shows being boring. Like, I saw a few of those and I was like, girl, why do you exist? That question mark. At A Bronx Tale.
Elijah. Stop that. Do not drag people or their creations on this podcast.
Okay, I must have seen, like, a weird cast or something, because it was, like, a time. Like, I just were sitting there, and I was like, girl, what did he say? And my mom was like, girl.
I happen to like that musical, but it's not my, like, favorite.
It's so weird, because, like, I've seen, like, videos and, like, little, like, rehearsal videos when they were promoting it with, like, Ariana DeBose and a few other people, and I was like, wow, this is pretty good. But then, like, I remember what I saw, and I was like, what was it? So maybe I just saw like a Walmart to the Chanel cast, you know? Maybe it was that.
Okay.
I like that you're like, okay, now that you've dragged the Bronx Tale. Anyway, Sam, do you just kind of want to expose Beetlejuice as to like where they lived for like the 1 year they ran?
Not even a year. I mean, the shutdown happened in March and they opened in April.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, really? I thought it was like they had at least a whole year.
They started previews in March. I think the 23rd they started previews, if I remember correctly.
That must be what I'm thinking.
Yeah. So they never even had it for like a full year. And here's something that sucks. Alex Brightman never got to perform like the final show as Beetlejuice. So.
Oh, really? So was it Will?
It was Will. Yeah, it was Will, who's also incredibly talented.
He is. He's really good. And I hate to be that person, but Alex Brightman is such a tough act to follow because he plays all of his characters so specifically that you really... I was talking about this with Leslie Kritzer when I saw her. Like, not about Alex, but him and Leslie both have this thing where they have, like, a brand,
yes,
so to speak. And, like, I don't want to see a Leslie Kritzer character played by anyone but her. And I feel like the same thing with Alex. Like, everything that he's done... I mean, like, there's some roles that he's, like, replaced. Like, Will and... Not Will. It was Edward in Big Fish, right?
He was in the ensemble of Big Fish. He played Bach in Wicked, so...
Right. I know he replaced Bach, but, like, wasn't he an understudy?
Oh, he was an understudy for Will. Yeah.
That's what I thought. That's Will.
No,
not
Edward's the older guy. And he was, like, younger when I think he did that show.
Yeah, I think that he... Okay. I couldn't remember because I remember finding out, like, all of that back when I did Big Fish when I was, like, 12. So I was like, oh, period. That's my man. So, yeah. But, like, I mean, there's some roles he's obviously replaced. And, like, same with Leslie. But he's such a tough act to follow because he plays everything so specifically that if you emulate it, it's just going to look like an emulation. It's not going to look like a full character live on stage, you know?
Yeah, and I think that Alex had to do that during the rehearsal process. I don't want to, like, speak for him, but Michael Keaton's performance in Beetlejuice really makes the movie. In my opinion, he is the best part about the movie, and he's only in the film for, like, 18 minutes.
That's right. I was like, what?
But he has such, like, a stage presence and such just, like, this charisma about him as Beetlejuice, Michael Keaton, that you wouldn't want to copy because it would look like an off-brand, like, try-hard. So how Alex Brightman approached the role, what I've heard from interviews, is just, like, tearing it down from the original source material and going from there.
Yeah, and it's really hard to do movie musicals and not emulate. Like on some level, like, even if you watch, like, other ones like Legally Blonde and Pretty Woman, they have to somewhat revert back to, like, the original performance, because you have to think, like, that audience is coming to see, like, a very specific idea of, like, Elle Woods or Vivian Ward. And by the way, both Laura Bell Budney and Samantha Barks did great in the characters I just mentioned. But, like,
yes.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just think that Beetlejuice needs to be specific to the person playing him. and that he cannot be a carbon copy of anyone else's brand of Beetlejuice, because it's, to me, it's just because he kind of embodies whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I think that it was pretty great that they didn't pick the Michael Keaton body type to play Beetlejuice either.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's, like, taller and he's very lanky, and Alex Brightman is, like, just shorter. Like, when I met him, he was shorter than me, and I've grown since then, so I was like,
I know, when I met him 2 summers ago, 2019, damn.
Same.
Yeah. Yeah. I was 5'7", and I was a little bit taller than him. I was just like, oh, you're so cute and petite. I just want to hug you. But I didn't hug him because that would have been weird.
Oh, I hugged him. He was very sweaty. But I hugged him. It was so funny, too, because he had, like, walked there or something from the theater, from Winter mm-hmm. Garden. I think because he was like, I walked, like 20 blocks to get here. And he was there. And I was like, oh my gosh, just get a taxi. You're Alex Brightman. Prize. Like, and I met him in a master class with Broadway Artists Alliance. Where did you meet him?
A class act NY did, like, private lessons. So I auditioned for those. And they were like, yeah, you're good enough to do a lesson with Alex. So I did a lesson with Alex. And it was a wonderful experience. I did it for, like, an hour and 30 minutes with him. He was just so positive and uplifting, but also he's a no, like, bullshit kind of guy. Like, if you're doing a class with Alex Brightman, you're doing a class with Alex Brightman to learn about acting, not to just, like, screw around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not a good fan experience when you meet him. Like, when I met him, he was clearly there to work, and you could tell, like, some of the people, the students there, were just kind of like, oh, we thought Alex Brightman was just going to kind of, like, baby us. And I was like, oh, I didn't think that at all.
Yeah. You know? Like, if you want to meet him, to, like, meet him at the stage door, like, a meet and greet on, like.
Yeah, like, he's very pleasant.
Oh, very pleasant. Very pleasant.
Yeah, I met him before. I was like, I'm going to be in your class on Sunday. And he was like, oh, cool. Bye. And I was like, bye. So, I don't know. I mean, I love Alex Brightman. I think he's absolutely delightful in every single mm-hmm. way. Bottom line, there's literally no one else that could have developed Beetlejuice the way he did. Like, no, like, I'm not saying that, like, no one else can play Beetlejuice, because, I mean, the nature of the business is we have to replace and be replaced for, like, the magic to keep going. But no one's ever going to play it like mm-hmm. him, because they just can't. Like, no one, that's just not an option. So, I've always respected Alex Brightman in that way.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say, low-key, since we're kind of... We got distracted, guys, but we were talking about the history of, like, the Winter Garden mm-hmm. as well. So, it's also been home to a few other shows that you might have heard about. So, it's longest-running... And actually, at one point, was the longest running show on Broadway, period, was Cats the Musical by Angela Lloyd Webber for 18 years.
Damn, okay.
And then, I know. And then it got replaced by Phantom as the longest running when it closed.
Did not get replaced by Phantom. Phantom is at the Majestic Theater, which...
No, I mean, I know it's not, like, at the theater, but I'm saying, like, I'm, like, in the running of, like, longest running
yes.
show.
Yes, Phantom. Yes.
Yeah, Phantom took that spot. And Phantom's been running for
33 years and going strong.
Wow. And I mean, Angela Lloyd Webber's got the magic touch then. And he's releasing Cinderella.
I cannot wait for that musical. I cannot wait.
Oh my god. Sam, we'll have to do a segment on it later because we have
way too much
to talk about today. Yes. Okay. And then it's also been home to School of Rock, which is another Angela Lloyd Webber show and Alex Brightman
yes,
show.
Yes, that is correct. Alex Brightman is actually the first actor to do a show in the same theater back to back.
Oh yeah, that's true. Because okay, period.
Go off, Alex Brightman. I see.
Go off, Alex Brightman. We see you, Alex Brightman. You. And it also was the home of Funny Girl on Broadway with Barbara Streisand. So like. Low-key, imagine performing on the same stage as Barbara Streisand. Like, I would sob.
I would sob
if I was. I would literally just be like, guys, I love Barbara. West Side Story with Chita Rivera, again, with Sarah Sabi. Mame with Angela Lansbury.
Again, Woodsob.
Woodsob. And also, like, little side note, like, I just think it's really interesting that, like, most people walk a turn, like, oh my gosh, you are the voice of my childhood. Because, you know, she did a lot of, like, kid stuff, like Beauty and the Beast and Anastasia. But for me, I'm like, you were Mrs. Lovett, and I grew up with you.
Yes.
You know? Like, I had, it's so weird. Like, my childhood, I was, like, so dark. And now I just, I watch Disney movies as a 17-year-old. Usually, like, when people now would be, like, oh, discovering Sweeney Todd and Jekyll and Hyde and all those. It was weird.
That's actually how I got into Beetlejuice. I used to, and I still do, obsess over, like, old Universal monster movies and, like, just old, old horror novels.
Guys, Sam is way cooler than me.
I'm really not, actually. But Phantom was the first show I got obsessed with because it was based on, like, a monster novel. So, monsters are the reason I'm in theater.
And the fact that you didn't play with Monster High Dolls growing up, it makes
I did. I sense. Never played with Monster High Dolls. I just never.
Is it? Listen, I was talking about this with someone. Was it you that said that someone's parent was like, no, they look kind of like anorexic and they were like scary.
Okay, so yeah, my mom wouldn't let me have Monster High Dolls when they first came out, even though I really wanted them. I really wanted the Draculaura and Frankie and Claudine set. But she was like, you can't have them. They look more anorexic than a Barbie doll. And I was like, okay.
Oh my gosh, like they are though.
Like, it's so skinny, and it makes me nervous for them. Like, please, please.
Can we, like, whoever makes the Monster High Dolls, can we please make them the normal size? And, like, I'm not going to be that person that, like, starts, like, a toy podcast because I literally could not. I don't know enough about it. But I will say right now on this podcast that Monster High Dolls were far superior to, like, all other toy brands. Like, I'm sorry. They just.
Yes, sure. Definitely. I 100% agree.
Right. Like, they were just so clever, and they were so pretty, and I was like,
Topic, but I had an idea that, like, Netflix, you know how, like, Netflix had the Winx saga? I think they should do a reboot of the Monster High Doll series, but live action.
Oh my god, and we play
the characters. I play operetta. It's done.
Oh, wait, low-key
would kill I would.
You would kill me. Listen, my favorite's Torelai, but I don't know who I'd actually play. So we're going to have to, like, get back to that because I feel like we could be here for the whole podcast just talking about, like, us in a Monster High movie. Like, it would be so... Do I? Let's just make that a segment. I know it's not a musical, but we'll just pretend that it's, like, a game. Well, just a little bit. Okay. Also, Sam, Girl, I didn't even get through my show about, like, my thing about the shows in the Winter Garden, but they also had Mamma Mia, which is one of Mamma my favorite
Mia,
shows.
Here again.
Listen, Sam, can you share with the class your theory on how jukebox musicals are written?
What is my theory? What did I say?
Your theory about how we all get high and then we, like, make up the jukeboxes.
I'm very convinced. I love Mamma Mia to death. I was in Mamma Mia. I played Tanya, and it was a really fun experience. But if you ever, like, dissect a jukebox musical, you can notice that the plots aren't always.
They don't always make sense, and it's not very plausible.
Yes, that is a very, very, very well articulated way to put it.
Okay. I'm like, go okay, off, honey. So I'm gonna go off. But yeah, so Sam thinks that whoever writes them, they just all sit around and get high, I guess, and then write the plot.
Pretty much. I mean, have you ever seen Moulin Rouge, the movie? Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sadly. Excuse me. That's one of my favorite movies of all time. Okay. Hush your mouth.
Okay, girl. I'm not trying to start beef with you live on the chat, okay. But, like, have fun.
We all have our opinions. We all have our opinions.
Girl, we know, but they're not always right. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I will leave this recording right now.
No, please don't. I love you. Okay. Okay, since I love you, can you explain, like, what, like, a quick breakdown of, like, what the show kind of entails? Like, what
okay,
it
so is, yeah. Beetlejuice the Musical is different from the movie, obviously, so I'm going to talk about that one. So Beetlejuice opens on Lydia Deetz, who is a young teenage goth girl who recently lost her mother. And
is she goth because of her loss with her mother? Is she like, or is she actually goth? Like, I'm sorry, I've always wondered
that. Depends who you ask.
What does Sophia and Caruso think? Who plays Lydia? Like, I feel like
if I remember from an interview she did, I think she said that Lydia always had a like interest in the strange and unusual, but I think because of the death of her mother, she just
became strange and unusual. Period. Okay, cool. Which is really sad, but like.
Okay, so Lydia loses her mom, and her father, Charles, with her life coach, Delia, move into a new house, which is occupied by the recently deceased Maitlands, who are played by Carrie Butler and Rob McClure, and Legends. And Beetlejuice was played by Alex Brightman, and it's a show about death and the ghosts and the demon trying to get the living out of the house, but it's more about Lydia trying to find her actual home. With the loss of her mother, she feels an emptiness inside her. And so through the Maitlands and through Beetlejuice and eventually through Charles and Delia, she does find a home.
Dang, I never heard it explained like that. It was just always kind of like, Beetlejuice is mean.
I don't think he's mean, though. He's just lonely.
He's not mean. He's just, he's very lonely. And also, like, I think that Alex Brightman kind of plays Beetlejuice very specifically. In the way that, like, in the movie, Beetlejuice is kind of, like, wild and having a good time. But I think it's interesting that Alex, I could be totally wrong. This is just my perception. I could be that kid in acting class. But the way I, like, kind of felt it from the audience is, like, he was just kind of bullshitting. And, like, yeah, well, I'm going to do this. And then he actually did. And he was like, oh, girl, I had no idea I could do that. But we're going to go. You know? Like, I always just kind of felt like he didn't quite know how powerful he was till the end.
I got that vibe too.
And then he got like really cocky, and then that was like the Beetlejuice.
Yes, because he does. His downfall, I think, is one of the most hilarious things I've ever watched. It feels like. Okay. Where's that?
You're so cute. But like, also, like, I know we've talked about Alex and Leslie specifically, but the whole original cast, like, I wasn't, like, in deep with it like Sam was with, like, knowing all the replacements and the understudies, which I would love to, but they were also perfect. Like, Carrie and Rob were fantastic, like, so funny without even, like, trying. And then Alex, of course, and then Leslie was something else. And she was such a takeaway for me. Like, I
feel so.
And that was when I discovered who she was. And then I went back and I was like, oh, I've seen her in Legally Blonde. Oh, I've seen her in Something Rotten. Oh, I've seen her in like all of these things. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in love with her. So I'm a huge Leslie fan. But yeah, and also her voice is like so healthy and like such an ape show.
Belt is one of the clearest things I've ever heard.
I don't even think she's belting. I think she's just mixing. Anyways, we're going to get back to that. Yeah, I just feel bad because, like, everyone listening to this is just going to be like, girl, they talk about Monster High Dolls and Elijah Dredd.
A Bronx Tale.
What did I even drag? Wait, Bronx Tale. I was about to say, what's
drag? I don't even remember. What did I do last night? Oh, I can't remember.
Okay.
Wait, do you know that Katy Perry song? When you go to bed with a 10 and you wake up with a 2. Do you remember that? I used to listen to that every single day as an 8-year-old. Every single day.
I listened to WAP every single day. And then my Amazon Music deleted it from my playlist because they want me to pay for it because I listen to it so much. But I'm broke, so I'm just switched over to like,
ooh, sexy. Arden, okay.
Like, girl, I can't even understand half the music. Like, it could be about like anything, and I'm just like, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know? I love her though. Like, a voice. Okay. So,
we do.
We gotta get back on topic, Sam. Oh my God. Canceled. You get canceled. Okay, girl. Why is the show popular? I have my personal input. I think I know how this happened, so I'm gonna say it, Sam.
Okay. I think I know what you're gonna say too. So.
So we're gonna play in a little bit. Say My Name, sung by Alex Brightman, Sophia Ann Caruso. But many of you may have heard it on a little
very underground. Not TikTok. A lot of people have this app.
Yeah, it's not like I went TikTok viral like one time. Not like it ever happened. But I want you to like pay attention when you're listening to this, Alex Brightman's use of his Beetlejuice character voice, because this is not his natural singing voice. Like, he has a beautiful, like, smooth tone in like everything else he sings, and like, it was, how did he do this, Sam? Like, didn't he do something with, like, the cartilage in his neck? To,
his
like,
pulse cords. This, like, everyone has two sets of vocal folds. You have your actual vocal cords, which you phonate when you talk. And then you have your false cords, which lay above your actual cords. Alex Brightman was able to manipulate his false cords, which is much safer when you are doing, like, a distorted voice, which he did for the role. And a lot of rock singers use this when they do like their rock belt screams, their skrelts. But he was able to.
Sam, can you do that?
I can distort my voice. I cannot talk for like long periods of time like Alex could do, but I can distort my voice.
Wow, period. Okay. Vocal training. We see you. Okay. So. Please don't try this at home because, like, it's a, as Alex said to me specifically, like, not specifically like, to me, but, like, to
the rest. Don't you dare try this at home.
Girl, he said, direct quote, it's a quick way to get vocal nodules.
Oh, period, Alex.
Oh, period. Don't do it. Okay, guys. So this is Say My Name, and we'll be back. Catch you later.
You could use a buddy. Don't you want a pal? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Girl, the way I see it, your daddy should be leaving and you should stick around and kill him.
What?
Nothing. So, Lydia, don't end yourself. Defend yourself. Daddy is the one you should maim. Together we'll exterminate. Assassinate!
No!
The finer points can wait, but first you gotta say my name. Go ahead and jump, but that won't stop him. Here you got a solid plan B option. I can bring your daddy so much pain. All you gotta do is say my name. Girl, just say it three times in a row, and you won't believe how far I'll go. I'm on the bench, but coach, just put me in the game. All you gotta do is say my name.
I don't know your name.
Well, I can't say it.
How about a game of charades?
Yes, let's play it.
Two words.
Right.
Second word.
Uh-huh.
Drink.
No.
Beverage.
No.
Wine.
No.
Juice.
Yes.
Okay, first word.
Okay.
Bug.
No.
Ant.
Close, but no.
Beetle.
Yes.
Beetle juice.
Wow, I'm impressed. And all you gotta do is say my name three times. Three times in a row. It must be spoken unbroken. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, go.
Beetle juice.
Yes.
Beetle juice.
Yes. Oh, wow, this is gonna be so good.
Because.
What?
You're so smart. Stand up, bro, I'll think about your offer, let you know. But I prefer my chances down below. Beetlejuice,
yes,
Beetlejuice,
yes.
Being young and female doesn't mean that I'm an easy mark. I put someone with piranhas, I don't need a shark. Yes, life sucks, but not that much. Okay, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, be a doll and spare the lecture.
I'm offering you a full-time specter.
Are you any good?
You betcha, trust me, baby.
I just met ya, really.
Don't you wanna see Dad suffer?
I think I'd rather just jump off.
No!
I may be suicidal, but Beetlejuice, it's not as if I lost my mind!
So, playing hardball, huh? You are tougher than you look.
Just wanna make sure I know who I'm working with. Got any references? Lydia, there you are!
Are you alright?
A-Dog, B-Town, my old pals!
You get away from her, Lydia! This is a dangerously unstable individual!
Beetlejuice is sexy!
is smart.
BJ is a graduate of Juilliard.
He can help. We found him on Yelp. Our troubles all ended on the day that we befriended him. Every word is the truth.
Violating.
There you go, kid. Couple of 5-star reviews.
What was that?
That was possession. Any ghost can do that in less than one lesson.
Any ghost?
Pretty much any ghost will do, sure.
Then Beetlejuice, what do I need you for?
Whoa, 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 whoa. Hold up, hold up, girl. I'm your pal. They're sweet, but I'm a demon straight from hell. I know I went a little hard on myself, but we're BFFFs forever.
Lydia! What? He was already dead. And you heard what he said. Any ghost can do that possession stuff.
We don't need that demon. The three of us alone can wreck Dad's evening. Together we can make a grown man weep. Guys got a dinner date to keep.
Okay, so what's the plan?
Teach Dad a lesson. He's gonna freak when we possess him. So he wants the perfect daughter. I'll lead that lamb to slaughter. Yeah, I got game. I'm gonna make him say my name. I'll make him say my name. I'll make him say my name.
Not running away.
I'll make him say my name.
Welcome back. If you are just tuning in, this is Bitchin' 'Bout Broadway on Hawk Radio and Anchor FM, and I'm your co-host, Sam Talk, with
Elijah Zurich.
Yay! Yeah.
Okay.
What were you just talking about? Say My Name?
Yeah, we were. I love this song. I think it's, like, so cute and very, like, indie. It has, like, a vibe to it, you know? Like, vibe check. It passed. So, Sam, why do you think that this song was, like, so popular? Or is it still popular? I feel like it still is.
I feel like it still is, yes.
I feel like every theater kid has done it for IEs this year.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I think the song is so popular because it does have that, like, back and forth platonic friendship, like, bitterness, I guess, just because that's how the two characters are written in the show. They're friends. And it was often duetted on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is why, that is one of the reasons I believe that the show became so popular is through TikTok and through Presley Ryan, who
is one
of the cast members of Beetlejuice, who understudied the Girl Scout and Lydia.
Period.
And backstage, Presley would do TikToks with the cast, including Alex Brightman, the main guy.
So, like, did it get popular because of, like, this TikTok exposure? Like, I feel like it did, because I remember when Beetlejuice initially was released, it, like, the whole Broadway community was like, okay, Beetlejuice is on Broadway, what's new? And then the theater kids on TikTok, like, really popped off, and then the whole, like, fandom of theater just kind of made Beetlejuice, like a classic, I guess. Like, it made it, like, a, if you have not seen Beetlejuice, you have not seen theater situation.
Yes, I believe that. I believe that. Okay, so here's what happened when Beetlejuice originally opened. It didn't get the best reviews. It got a lot of mixed reviews. A lot of people didn't like it because it wasn't anything that they have seen before, and they couldn't compare it to anything. So
right, I remember, like, because I didn't see it. I just saw, like, a picture of Alex Brightman, and then, like, a scathing review, and I was like, oh, hello. Like, mm-hmm. The day after it opened.
And then it didn't do well in ticket sales, but then shortly after it opened, the cast album came out, which I think promoted the show, and then the Tonys happened. They were nominated for 8 Tonys, including Best Musical, Best Book, Best Score, and Best Leading Actor in a Musical.
Alex was robbed. I don't know who won, but Alex was robbed.
Alex, I feel, deserves his Tony. One day he'll get it. One day.
Girl, hopefully he doesn't have to wait as long as Stephanie J. Block, because, like, we all know she deserved for falsettos. Like, you can't. Girl, I'm not. Don't get me into it. Sorry.
It's okay. You can put it off at another time.
Yeah, I was very passionate about Stephanie J. Block and her Tony. Like, you know how it is.
Of course. And then the Tony Awards happened, and they had their Tony performance, and they performed the whole Being Dead thing, and they adjusted the lyrics of the song to fit the Tony Awards, which I thought was absolutely brilliant, genius move. And then...
That was such an interesting performance. Like, I remember when I saw that, I was like,
He literally called out Adam Driver and Nathan Lane. Who else did he call out? Glenda Jackson. I was like, what is going on? Calm down, Alex Brightman. Calm down, Eddie Perfect.
Didn't he like start in the audience too?
He did start in the audience. Oh my god, yes.
I must have been so weird for everyone seeing that live, because Alex is in the audience, and then like didn't like some of the cast start backstage?
Yes, they did. Yeah.
So like that would just been so weird if you were just sitting at the Tony Awards, like, girl, nice stage, I guess. Like, that's all I was thinking of, like, when I was watching it, like, on my television, like, where they had, like, cameras backstage and in the audience. But I'm like, imagine if you're in this theater and you're just, like, looking at the stage and you just hear, like, day, me say day. They're like, go off, Leslie, but, like, where are you, girl? Like, I would have been like, huh?
And then they just, like, left the stage. And then Alex, like, it cut to Alex just sitting in the audience. And I was like, this is going to be great. This is going to be amazing.
He was just having his time at the Tonys. He was like, ew.
You can tell when an actor is having so much fun in a role that it just, like, seeps through their performance. And I think Alex Brightman as Beetlejuice, Leslie Kritzer as Delia, that really shows.
Oh, for sure. And, like, Rob McClure and everything he does.
Oh, my gosh. I love Rob McClure so much.
Like, literally, he's one of my, like, inspirations as to whom I would like to be when I am older. Like, he's just so good to everyone he meets. Like, guys, I'm gonna low-key plug it. Sam and I met in a Rob McClure masterclass.
Oh, we did.
Okay. Yep, I sang, and she was like, "Aw, he was talented." And then she sang, and I was like, "She's talented." And then I DM'd her, and I was like, "You're talented." And then we were besties.
Then we're besties. I sang to his child. Do you remember that? He, like, put the crib, like, his child's crib was right next to the camera, and then he, like, faced it. And I was sitting.
Yeah, he like showed you the crib. I felt like so mad. I was like, why didn't he show me the crib? Like,
you jealous?
Like, like, obviously we were all on the Zoom call and we could all see the crib, but I was just like, why didn't he pull out the crib for me? Like, I was so upset. I was like, Rob McClure, come on. No, just kidding. I love Rob McClure. He was amazing.
I loved him. Okay. And then TikTok happened with Beetlejuice, and I feel
like... Thanks for getting us back on track. Thank you.
Anytime. And then, yeah, TikTok really engrossed Beetlejuice, and a fandom really formed on that platform.
Yeah, like, it's so funny. Like, everyone I've ever met in my entire life, like, it was so weird. Like, Beetlejuice happened, and I was like, all right, have fun. And then they just, like... all one day decided, I'm homeschooled, so it's not like I go to school and have TikTok and all that. I mean, I do have TikTok now, but I don't even run it. Like, I've never made a TikTok on my own. And then, yeah. And then, like, everyone was just like, people just amazing. I was like, girl, cool down. Like, we done known. So apparently it, like, wasn't always a thing. It's, like, my point of that. Like, to me, I think it's very obscure to, like, Aida and Pretty Women. Pretty Woman. Oh, my gosh. One woman. Plural. Not plural. Oh, my gosh. I'm in Little Women right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I just kind of got a little confuzzled. But you know how it is. So, Pretty Woman is such a good show. And I saw that. And that's another movie musical that, like, didn't do as well as it should have. Which is sad. My like, absolute idol, Sam Barks, was in it. So I saw it, and she was great.
I really want to see her as Elsa in the West End. I really want to see that.
Me too. And the way she's just always been so good. Like, even at her young age, like, I think she was 17 when she was in Oliver or Les Mis. I can't remember, but she like won that Angela Webber competition, because remember that's when she got, like, discovered.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then she booked Oliver or Les Mis. I can't remember which one. No, I feel like she did Les Mis, and then she did Oliver.
Didn't she do Cabaret first, like the West End National Tour? of
Cabaret. That may have been it, but like her breakout was Eponine. Like her breakout, because then she did that 25th anniversary concert, which then she got the movie with Hugh Jackman mm-hmm. and Anne Hathaway and Russell Crowe, and she was still Eponine. And I was like, ah! Like, amazing. She was so good mm-hmm. in that. Like, she was so young, and she was like, and also meeting her, like, she's such like a pillar on stage. Like, she looks so tall. But then when I met her, I was like, oh my gosh, you're so tiny. Like, I could break you. Like, obviously, I would never break her, but like, you know, she's so like little, and I was like afraid to touch her. You know? I'm singing for her next weekend, so I'm very excited to like see her again. So, yeah, for realsies.
Fancy.
Speaking of young girls popping off in theater and like really showing us up, Sophia and Caruso.
When you said young girls, love. I got very worried for a second. I was just like, what are we getting into? Okay. Speaking of young girls.
Speaking of young girls, I got the tea. No, just like, this ain't that kind of show. Maybe. Okay.
No, we can escalate to like very disturbing topics sometimes.
Girl, we're not going to be disturbing, but I will expose my friends. Like, I'll be like, speaking of young girls, this girl really said, you know? Miss Ma'am. But speaking of Miss Ma'ams, Sophia Ann Caruso.
What a Lydia,
wasn't she cast at like 16? Like when they were casting it for Out of Town?
She got the workshops in the lab in like when she was 15, I think.
Yes. Oh, wow. And they just kept her on.
She's a powerhouse. She's insane. Incredible.
I am so lucky. Like, I got to see her as Lydia because, like when I went in the summer, because I was just like, girl, I gotta see this girl. Like, I've heard all these things, and I was blown away. I was like, there is very few people that could do this. And I say very few because Presley holds a candle to her, and Presley's only, like, 14 or 15.
He's 17 now.
Right?
17?
Oh, we're the same age. That's right. I forgot about that. At the time I saw it, I was 15 mm-hmm. now. Like, turning 16. So, yeah, that's probably why it's, like, in my head. But, yeah, I mean, everyone, like, they were both so talented. They were definitely the youngest two people there.
Yes. For sure. Obviously.
So that's amazing. And she was 17 when it opened on Broadway?
Yes, she was.
Wow. And she did it, like, so much. Like, I don't think the understudies went on a whole bunch for her.
I think towards the end,
towards the end, so she did leave.
Yeah. Fun fact, left. I saw her last show without knowing it.
Oh my gosh. I don't think anyone knew it was her last show.
She didn't. No one did, because she, like, mentioned, like, because I saw it on the 19th, which was her last show. Didn't know it. Mm-hmm. I came back the next day to my house, and I saw on Instagram, she was like, if anyone bought tickets to see me in Beetlejuice, Wednesday was my last show. I saw.
If anyone bought tickets to see me in Beetlejuice.
Sucks for you. Sucks for you. Because psych.
But then they saw Presley, right? Which was not like a bad thing, because she is very.
Oh, talented. It's definitely not a bad thing. Love Presley.
Yeah. Like, sometimes I know, like, you have to see, like, that person play the role because the show was made famous by, like, that one person. But, like, I mean, like, I feel like me seeing Dear Evan Hansen, like, I mean, that show's just so stressful for me anyway because, like, you mm-hmm. know the storyline. But, like, I feel like if I had seen Ben Platt, I would have been, like, more in awe of Ben Platt than, like, stressed mm-hmm. out about the story. You know, like, he was just amazing. He was, like, sobbing every night. Like, but anyways.
Ben
Sophia Ann Caruso, she popped off, and like I know she left abruptly and all, but she was really, really something.
She,
like,
left,
she really just popped off.
Like, it wasn't, she wasn't like bored with the show. She left for television, movies, and she mm-hmm. released a single, and she's releasing a single 4 days in 4 days, I think, today, and she's releasing a song in 4 days. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for her. She's really popping off. And I do think that part of the popularity of Beetlejuice is because, like, let's be honest, theater is populated by, like, teenage girls.
Yes.
And I think that seeing people like Sophia and Presley is like, oh my gosh, that's a role I could totally play right now at like mm-hmm. age whatever. Like 13 to 18. Yeah. So I think that that brought a lot of people into Beetlejuice, like listening to like Home and Dead Mom. And I think that it did get very popular because those songs were used in auditions, on performances, and like all of those, like, and all over the internet because people were doing covers mm-hmm. and still are. And it's on now, both of those songs are on the overdone yeah. song list for like people auditioning. So no Beetlejuice for us, Sam. Sorry. So yeah, I think that that's part of why the show became so popular. And that actually leads us to our very next break. We're going to listen to Dead Mom sung by the one and only Sophia and Caruso. So we'll catch you after that. Or as Sam likes to say,
I don't know what just came over me when I said that. I was just like, flip flop.
I was like, okay,
your brand at all.
I just love you. Okay, we're going to catch you on the other side. Oh wait, Sam. Hi. I'll be your guide.
We'll go to another world. Another world. Okay.
Girl, you know the words better than me. That's the only part.
I'm the B to the W J F Q and Jesus. I can't spell shit. Hi. He'll be your guide. I could go on for hours. It's my alarm in the morning.
Oh my gosh. Sam.
Baby girl.
Okay. Sam and I are gonna have a talk about this. But y'all can listen to Dead Mom while we have a chit-chat. Okay.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Hey, Mom. Dead Mom. I need a little help here. I'm probably talking to myself here. But Dead Mom, I gotta ask, are you really in the ground? 'Cause I feel you all around me. Are you here, Dead Mom? Dead Mom. Dead Mom. About your mom. 'Cause daddy's in denial. Daddy
Sam, don't you have something to say?
Good morning. It's time to sin and be horny.
Welcome back. This is Bitch and Bad Broadway Hawk Radio on Anchor FM. Oh my gosh, you guys, I love Dead Mom. And Sam, you're hilarious. I'm in love with you.
Oh.
Marry me, please. Thank you.
Marry me a little. Okay.
I just cannot. So now, Sam, I just kind of want to dive in and talk about the tea on why Beetlejuice closed, girl.
Okay. Okay.
Man, you better come through with this because I... don't get me started.
So do you understand what happened with, like, the financial situation?
Girl, you gotta tell the viewers.
Okay, so what happened was, in the beginning, Beetlejuice wasn't doing the best in ticket sales. It's proven. You can look at the stats. So what the...
And it's because of Sam Talk, guys.
I'm the reason why Beetlejuice stayed open for as long as it did. Because I just kept seeing the show.
Period. That's on facts.
Yep. Pretty much. I was just in the front row. Alex Brightman spitting on me. If you didn't know, Alex Brightman is a spitter. So, yeah.
Jonathan Groff is not an original spitter. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Alex Brightman did it first. Okay.
Alex is like, I can't talk right now. I'm doing hacker shit. Just spits on everyone.
Oh, no, don't drag Alex. Don't drag him.
No, I'm not dragging. I'm just saying that that's definitely the hot girl shit as a Broadway star.
Yep. Okay. So the producers of Beetlejuice and the upcoming revival of The Music Man met and said, okay. And they met with the Schubert organization and said, okay, there's this thing called a stop clause. And the stop clause said, yeah, we're going to, like, vacate the theater if you can't get this money.
It was like the Thénardiers and Les Mis, and they're like, Fontaine girl, sell your hair. We need that cash. Let me in on that dough, though.
I'm crying. Okay. Your giggle. Stop it.
We're terrible. Okay, keep going, Sam.
We're trying to be serious. Okay. So stop clauses are a standard in lease agreements between Broadway landlords and producers. It allows a landlord to boot a show that falls below a certain level of ticket sales for 2 weeks in a row. Beetlejuice did exactly that in May, shortly after opening night. And this was before their cast album, their promotions on TikTok, and the Tony Awards.
Beetlejuice was like, girl, we ain't doing well. And then the landlord was just like, girl, get out. Girl, just leave.
Being evicted.
Girl, we got Sutton Foster and Hugh Jackman that want to be up in here. I need you to leave.
They're going to make Marion a belter, and I want to hear that.
Girl, I don't even think Sutton Foster belts. She's like a mixer. Like, guys, there's a difference.
There is a difference.
Just a little bit. Like, Taylor Lautner, she ain't belting. She's mixing for her life. She is, like, out here mixing that, stirring it up.
Okay, but like when you're on Broadway 8 times a week, you need to mix or else you would kill yourself, pretty much. Kill your vocal cords.
Guys, I think I'm just gonna kill my vocal cords.
Felt cute. Might kill my vocal cords later.
I don't know. New Instagram caption. All y'all better give me a follow and a like. Okay, period. Okay, anyways, keep going. I got a little distracted because as you were talking, Sam, in my head, I just saw the landlord be like, get out. And Beetle just be like, please, you know?
Please.
So, girl, what's Beetle just getting replaced with over at my girl, the Winter Garden?
Like previously said, The Music Man, starring Hugh Jackman and Sutton Foster.
Like, literal icons, like.
And that's literally all I know about the production. I know they've rehearsed once.
I also know they got the ugliest ass sign out in front of the theater. What's good?
Love dragging shows or anything. In fact, I'm very open to The Music Man coming into the theater because that's
No beef on The Music Man. I love The Music Man. I think it's like a really fun golden age. I know it's misogynistic. Don't get me started. But I think that the music's kind of quirky and it's fun for a golden age. Like, I like when golden age musicals do modern things and they didn't even know it, you know?
Yeah.
Music Man, My Fair Lady, and She Loves Me are just that.
I love She Loves Me. It's so cute.
Don't, oh my gosh. She Loves Me. I'm in love with her. Laura, I am in love with her.
Laura Benanti, please adopt me.
Girl, okay. Don't get me started. She is so sweet. Like, the two times I've met this woman, I met her in the summer, like, live, and she was hilarious, and she was always very good with the little kids, like, you know, like, the itty-bitties, and I think part of that's because she has a daughter.
Yeah.
But, like, when I met her over Zoom, and I sang for her, she was like, girl, that was so good. I have no notes. And I was like, oh, girl.
Oh, Laura. Okay.
I was like, what about Nancy, say honey, girl.
Love that for you. Okay.
And I mixed for her. I mixed.
Oh.
I did that one around, and I said, but in time. And she was like, girl. And she didn't say girl, but I could see, like, in her vibe, she was like, girl.
He wanted to say girl.
My favorite part was that in the first part of the masterclass, she was in her car. Oh. And so she had her camera off, but we had this, like, icon of her, and it was, like, her, like, laying on a couch looking sultry and, like, wrapped in feathers or something. Like, I remember thinking it was, like, a scandalous picture. Like, she was not clothed to, like, the point she should have been. And I was just laughing, and, like, my mic was on, and Mark Timonelli was like, girl, stop laughing.
Oh, wait,
like,
it was with Mark?
Yes, it was with Mark.
It was with Mark.
Okay. Like, maybe it was a vet. Somebody told me that I need to stop laughing. And then, like, I like picked up my phone for like 5 seconds, just text my friend. I was like, girl, Laura Benanti's in her car. And like, girl, did you take a picture of Laura Benanti's screen? And I was like, no. And then I was like, damn, I should have done it. Like, I didn't do it. And I was so sad. I was
like, Laura, get back in your car. Laura, get back in your car. I need a picture.
But she's so funny. I loved her. She was so great. But anyways. Love and Nancy, wonderful. But anyway, the Music Man has the... I love Golden Age musicals. I love the Music Man. I'm not dragging it. I'm dragging whoever designed the sign.
It could have been a bit better.
It's orange and blue.
It
looks like a convenience store.
It looks like the Syracuse Orange baseball team.
It does, but like it looks like a Broadway gas station. Like, it's like Winter Garden puts on the gas station.
Oh my God, stop it.
Like, that's how I feel about it. I'm like, I feel like I'm going to walk in the building and like the gift shop section, like, you know, like the little stands.
It's going to be a bodega.
It's going to be like a 7-Eleven in there. I'm going to like walk in and I'm going to like, where's the bathroom? You know, like.
They have like a brick with a key on it.
Girl, there's going to be like a whole thing. And Alex Brightman and, like, Leslie Kritzer are just going to be like, girl, you want anything? And I'll be like, no, I just came here to pee. Like, it's going to be like that.
Well, and, you like, need to buy something. You buy, like, a pack of gum and a mug.
Yeah, Sutton Bob is like, girl, is that all you need? Like, Sutton Bob is really in here, like, girl, you need help with anything? I'm like, girl, like, I need help with my mixed belt. Like,
the guy who does your gas. Hugh Jackman's the guy who does your gas.
Oh my God. No, Hugh Jackman's like definitely that guy that like unlocks the little glass safe. I'm not even sure why it's glass, but it has like cigarettes behind it. He just unlocks it. He's definitely that guy. He's just like, ting-a-ling-a-ling. He has his little keys, but there's like a little teddy bear on the end of the keys for whatever reason. Just apparently gas stations have like multiple rings of keys, and then they're just like, hammer the keys, and then Hugh Jackman's like, which ones? And then everyone's like, the teddy bear. And then he's like, oh girl, and he like gets the teddy bear keys.
So back
to why, but like my mind goes to like a real weird place when I think about this topic. Anyway,
plowing ahead, The Music Man is what we were trying to talk about. So The Music Man is going into the Winter Garden sometime in 2021 or when Broadway is back open. Because as most of you know, Broadway is closed right now.
Girl, what? Really?
Really?
You don't say. It's not like I've met all the Broadway stars because they need to get
paid. I haven't noticed.
Girl, who needs Broadway? not bitching about Broadway. We're just gonna talk about it behind her back. I'm gonna make that the slogan. I'm like, bitching about Broadway, where we talk about Broadway behind her back.
No, the slogan is, good morning, it's time to spin and be horny.
We have multiple slogans. You have one and I have
okay.
one. Okay,
okay, cute.
Now, I like that the viewers are, like, low-key here for development, too. They're like, oh, girl, development.
Okay.
Anyways, the musical the man. He's
having the man of the music. Okay. The juice of the beetle. Okay. So, Beetlejuice. A lot of discussion was said about if it could move to another theater.
Aren't they still on that? Like, wasn't Alex Hartman on, like, a podcast, like, 2 days ago? Or maybe it wasn't 2 days ago.
Alex Hartman said a lot that, like, they are coming back, which I really hope is the case, because I think people should see the show. But the reason why the Music Man is specifically going into the Winter Garden is because the producers wanted the marquee. And if you know the Winter Garden Theater, you know that it has a huge, huge marquee that can be seen from Times Square.
Girl, come get your gas.
Come get your gas.
Guys, I'm not saying it's an actual gas station. I'm just saying it looks to me Elijah Zurich, in my mind, as Elijah Zurich, I see that and I'm like, girl, it's a gas station. I'm not sure why, but it just does that to me. Like,
it does that girl. For me. That's another thing about the Music Man marquee. It's like, Hugh Jackman, Sutton Foster, the Music Man. Are they trying to advertise that the Music Man is a character?
No, but it's just so funny. Just the way it is, it's like the Sutton Foster, Hugh Jackman, Music Man.
Oh my gosh, I would feel so bad for the understudies when like Hugh or Sutton call out.
Oh my god, because they are literally, like, are they going to be able to call out? Like, is that even in the contract? Like, are they just going to go on stage with like a 400 degree fever? Like, what's going to happen?
Pulling Idina Menzel, how she comes on in the red tracksuit in her last show of Wicked.
Wait, why'd you come on in a track?
Have you never seen that video?
No, I saw a picture and I've been meaning to ask someone. Sam,
we'll talk about this. We need to talk about this.
Guys, stay updated on our Wicked segment where we're going to talk about Idina Menzel in said tracksuit. But first, I'm going to get the facts from Sam on the after call of this after Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl.
Girl, the Super Bowl. Everyone in Florida is freaking out about the Super Bowl. Like, everyone's like,
because there's nothing else to freak out about. Football is the only thing that's happening right now.
No, but girl, this is, it's at our house and it's our team. Like, we are the Bucks are at Bucks Stadium in Tampa.
Cute.
So, no, like, what I'm saying is, we as Floridians are like, girl, our team made it to the Super Bowl, first of all. And second of all, the Super Bowl is at Buck Stadium in our
house. In our house.
So, girl, it's in the hizzy hoo. I'll tell you what ain't in the hizzy hoo. Beetlejuice, because Music Man in the hizzy hoo.
How dare you? How dare you? You know, the Buffalo Bills almost made it to the Super Bowl, but they were beaten by the Chiefs, which I'm a little salty about.
The Buffalo.
Buffalo Bills, it's my team. The Bills mom. Have you never heard of us? Have you never heard of a Buffalo Bills mafia?
Girl, I haven't heard of sports, period. Like, this is the first time I've even heard of the Bucks, okay?
The
like,
Bucks, excuse me, it's the Bills.
Also, when I was little and I heard about the Bucks, I don't know why, but I always pictured Manny from Diary of a Wimpy Kid because he had buff teeth. And I just didn't even understand it. I didn't take it as
buff ears.
I took it as, like, buff teeth.
Elijah. Did you know that there is a Diary of a Wimpy Kid musical?
Girl, we're going to make a segment about it. Let's get back to it.
Make
later.
A segment okay. About illegal musicals.
Girl, we don't want to talk about that time I was in Mean Girls. Anyways, let's get back on track. Music Man / Beetlejuice, what's the tea? What's the 411?
Okay, so basically, rundown. They wanted the theater because of the marquee. They were offered other theaters. They were offered the theater that was that To Kill a Mockingbird was in. They passed on that because it doesn't have the marquee. And that's really why they wanted the show, is for the advertisement.
Yeah, also that theater is on a weird part of the street. Like, girl, I don't want to be next door to Phantom.
Yeah.
Because girl, I'm going to be listening to Christine hit that high note every night. Like,
girl.
Sutton Foster is going to be like, good night, my summer. And then you're just going to hear like,
Yep, you know? Pretty much.
I can't hit that note. Nope. Not today. Maybe Sam.
I can. I just haven't warmed up today.
Okay, we're not talking about that. Anyways. So, yeah, that theater is on a weird part of the street. Like, I feel like To Kill a Mockingbird, it's, like, perfect because, like, it has, like, the right energy for To Kill a Mockingbird. But, I mean, if you're, like, advertising Hugh Jackman and Sutton Foster, you need, like, a specific part of the street because, you know, lines are going to be, like, out the door, down the street, out of Broadway.
Yeah. I actually stood in a line for Beetlejuice, which is next to the Ellen Stardust Diner. And this was before you could stand in lines and, like, crowd in places. But the lines got mixed up between Ellen Stardust and the line to get into Beetlejuice. And so there were just, like, random people, like, getting into Beetlejuice without a ticket. It's like, what's happening?
Oh, that's, like, so funny. But don't you... Pre-COVID world was so weird. Like, we weren't scanning tickets. We weren't sanitizing. We weren't, like... being sanitary in any way.
I know. One of my teachers was complaining. He's like, ugh, now I gotta, like, wipe down the desk. I was like, you didn't do that before?
Girl, he's like, girl, I have to wipe down.
I gotta wipe it down.
He's like, I can't talk right now. I'm doing hot girl shit. And he's like, wiping down the desk. Girl, I think that the music man just tried to wipe off Beetlejuice. Hashtag sanitary. No, I'm just kidding. Oh my gosh. But, like, long story short, now the music man's in the theater, and it did cause, like, I remember when it was, like, announced, like, girl, Beetlejuice is closing because of Music Man. And I was like, oh.
No, I feel like Music Man got dragged a little bit for that, which it really.
Oh, yeah. Actors... It did not get good press because of it. I was just like, girl, and, like, also, like, some of the cast members, not going to mention who it was, but they were, like, kind of popping off on the Music Man. And I was like, girl, don't pop off on the Music Man. You will get another job. You became famous because of this show. Get another show. Like, shows are being processed in and out. That's just the business of Broadway. Like, it's very rare for something like Phantom or Chicago to be there for, like, over 10 years. Or Wicked, yeah. You know? I do think Hamilton's going to last a lot longer.
Yes, definitely.
Because the show keeps, also that show just keeps getting better.
It does, actually. I have
like watching the pro shot and seeing, like, some, like, videos of the current Broadway cast, I'm like, it's so different. Like, obviously it was never bad because it's amazing, but it's so different and it's so fresh. Mm-hmm. So that's how, it's a very healthy show because it moves with the time and, like, with the people in it. And I thought that was
really cool. To think of Hamilton almost as, like, a concert because I've seen it before. I saw the touring production of it. And with
me too.
Yeah, with Hamilton, you have the liberty of making the character your own because it's not exact. Like, it's not 1776, that musical, where they're like, oh, this was James Madison and this was Ben Franklin and this was George Washington. No, it's not that. You are playing the spirit of a character. You are not.
I like that, the spirit of a character, because you're right. Like, it's the energy. It's not really any of them. It's just the general.
Yeah, and plus, like, in Hamilton, I think Lin-Manuel Miranda, insanely talented, miraculous, phenomenal human being, wrote a score that is just so... You can just take so many liberties and freedoms with it. Like, there's a compilation of the best... or, like, some of the best Angelica Schuyler Satisfied riffs, which is amazing, and just makes the character Angelica your own based on how you riff a certain note or something like that.
Yeah, and, like, it adds something else to it that, like, maybe someone else isn't gonna do, but they all do it. And also, like, I listened to one of those compilations, not sure if it's the same one you did, but all the riffs were in, like, in different places of the song, so, like, it advanced certain parts of it more. It wasn't always in the same spot. Like, I mean, it's usually on that last, like, and then you provide. It's usually on that. But, like, I saw it was other places, too. And I was like, oh, that was spicy. Mm-hmm. You know? But, like, it only worked for, like, certain ones. And I just thought that, anyways, Hamilton needs to be a segment. It's so cool. And we could talk about it for hours. So, girl, the tea on the Beetlejuice is that it might come back, but also might not. And the Music Man's in the Winter Garden. So
yeah, without a doubt, the Music Man will go into the Winter Garden. There has been talk that the Beetlejuice will go into the Barrymore, which is across 6.
Oh.
You know how crazy that would be? Like, all the confetti, like, on the street, and all, like, the TikTok musical theater stands coming out of Six and Beetlejuice at the same time, just, like, singing the songs.
Oh,
it's... It would be wild.
Girl, I hope not, because if we're gonna litter so much if it just goes onto the streets of New York, because you know, like, we're all gonna, like, walk out with it.
I know, the people coming out as, like, Six in their cosplays, and, like, the Beetlejuice cosplays just, like, merging in the street together.
Okay, but, like, also, Beetlejuice cosplays are so good. Like, they're some of the best cosplays
I've seen. I cosplayed when I saw the show the third time.
Oh, yes.
I did.
You cosplayed as
Beetlejuice. I did cosplay, right? As a female Beetlejuice. I had, like, a little skirt that I made. And
bend the gender.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's actually one of my gender-bent dream roles, so.
My gender-bent dream role was Eponine, but you already
knew that. Yeah, I knew that.
Eponine and Lame Is, guys. I have a friend who low-key might be directing it in the fall, so I didn't tell him that, but he's going to listen to this podcast, and he'll be like, oh, Elijah wants to be Eponine, not going to happen. But
he probably didn't, like, you know, threaten him and said, like, I need to be Eponine or else I will just...
I'm not going to threaten him. He's, like, a foot shorter than me. That's bullying. But he's super sweet. Tim, what's good?
Hey, Tim. Anyways, hey, Timmy.
Okay. So we low-key kind of have to go, Sam, because, like, the radio's gonna shut us off.
They're kicking us out, like, the music did to Beetlejuice. That is not what
happened. We were only spooky and horny for, like, an hour. Okay,
I repeat, that is not what happened to Beetlejuice. They were doing well in, like, July from their end run at the Winter Garden, but stop clauses happen. Shows do two things: they open and they close.
What's in between?
It really doesn't matter.
It actually kind of does, low key,
just a little bit.
But hey, fam, we will say our goodbyes in the Beetlejuice tradition. This is Shake from Beetlejuice the Musical. I low key cried at the end of the show. Like,
I cried multiple times. I cried when and walked on stage.
Oh my gosh. Me and my obstructed view just started crying when, like, that iconic scene where, like, Lydia's, like, floating above the staircase.
But,
like,
that really
when they did that, I was, like, not expecting it to happen.
How did they do that? I know it's, like, a little chair lift thingy.
Yeah, it's, like, an elevator chair. So she sat on, like, a bike chair. And then they, like, raised it up, and she just sat on it, and she just jammed out on it, and then they, like, lowered it.
Amazing.
And I know how they did this because I was at an obstructed view, so I saw the side of it. And I was like, oh, shit, girl. But also, I was looking for it because, like, I was so excited. I was like, how'd they do it? I was like, I don't see any strings. How'd they do this? And then I was like, oh, girl. Okay, that's clever. That's the hot girl shape. How it is. So, bye, Sam. I'll talk to you in, like, 5 minutes.
Okay, I guess.
Like, I'll miss you. Have a great night, everyone. Catch us next week. We're gonna really pop off. Okay. Bye, fam.
Bye.
I adore you all. Bye. Yeah.
Shake, 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 Sonora. Shake your body line. Shake, 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 Sonora. Shake it all the time. Work, 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 Sonora. Work your body line.
Name is Sonora.
I tell you, friends, I adore her.
And when she dances, oh brother,
she's a hurricane in all kinds of weather.
Jump in the line, rock your body in time.
Look out!